There we go, that's Messi by Lola. Paul Mussolides, what a name.
I know. Imagine growing up in Ireland with that name and having to explain yourself all the time.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Ireland, in Dublin. I now live in Kildare. But my parents played this great practical joke on me. They christened me Phoebus Apollo Mussolides. So the Paul comes from the Apollo. And as a child, I spelt it P-A-U-L because I didn't want to stand out. And then I guess when I became a teenager, I decided, you know, P-O-L-L was cooler.
Never met anybody called Apollo. Yeah. Never. So you're Apollo.
Well, yeah, no one calls me that. I mean.
Well, they will now.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
where's the origins of
Cyprus?
Cyprus. Cyprus. Yeah,
my parents came from Cyprus to Ireland in the late 1950s, early 1960s.
Oh, wow. They must have been very exotic.
It was very different. I mean, hearing my dad talk about Dublin in those days was just brilliant because he remembers when oranges arrived into Moore Street, great celebrations when specific herbs arrived. It was brilliant, you know, bananas growing in his back garden at home.
Lemons and avocados, and anything that grows. Really interesting.
He always talks about him and Mr. Cafola, who was selling ice cream up and down O'Connell Street. So it was nice to hear the history of Dublin through his eyes, because he would see it as an outsider.
What was your dad's name?
Phoebus.
Phoebus.
Yeah.
So I've described you as one of Europe's leading voice coaches and communication strategists. You've been mentioned on various, you mentioned on The Late Late Show, you mentioned on this show, you've mentioned on the Graham Norton show.
I know.
Because you helped James Norton with his accent.
Yeah, James has been very kind. I mean, I worked with the entire cast.
Of the House of Guinness.
On the House of Guinness, yeah. So it was actually lovely because there was three or four English actors and then mostly an Irish cast. But even sometimes with an Irish cast, you have to help them find the right sounds, or because his voice isn't just about accent, it's about, you know, an actor's job is to find the truth of a character and bring it to life, you know. So it goes beyond just accent. It's how you want an audience to feel, and that applies to anyone who speaks. You know, when you're speaking, the focus should really be about how you want people to feel. So actors are changing the chemicals in people's brains. They're trying to change their emotional states. They're trying to, you know, they're telling a story.
I think something that's become much more prevalent over the last 20 years, 30 years, with the advent of American companies, particularly in American style work practices, is people presenting. So people standing, people on ordinary salaries. I'm not talking about chief executives. I'm talking about people go to work every day and come home and, you know, sit down and watch the telly, not fly off in a private jet, to present in work. And it's terrifying for people to stand up in front of a whiteboard and do it. And that's something like what you're talking about.
And that's, I would say, putting aside all the film and television stuff, you know, about 70% of my work is around helping people to be able to communicate normally in a work environment. I mean, we all know how to speak. Mm. We do it every day. We all know how to breathe. We all know how to walk. But something funny happens when you have to stand up, when it's an extraordinary situation. And I always say to people, you know, you don't have to tell people everything you know. You just need to tell them what you need to know, what they need to know right now, to get them to move in the direction you'd like them to go. Because I think in work, sometimes people say, well, I'll just create loads of PowerPoint slides and I'll tell them everything and I'll cover my ass and I'll make sure that nobody can say I didn't say this or say. But actually, you know, one of the things we have to remember is that the brain sees what is essential, not what is real. So your job as a communicator in that situation is to draw the focus of your listeners, of your audience, to what is essential. And that's what the brain does. The brain is brilliant. The brain protects us. And it's always trying to, you know, it'll find shortcuts. When you're learning to drive a car, you know, everything is really important. But then after a while, you get into your car and you end up in your destination. You don't know how you got there because the brain creates heuristics. It creates shortcuts. So actually, when you're preparing to speak, what you need to be doing is putting in that practice.
And
it's practice, practice, practice. I mean, you can't... I just knocked over a cup there.
You're throwing paper cups around the place. Just calm down. You're not in the quiz now.
You know, I always say you can't get fitter watching aerobics on TV. You actually have to do it. And it's the difference between speaking with your friends and your family and then speaking in front of an audience. So I always encourage people to practice the skills and the techniques that I would teach them with their friends and their family. you know.
But what, for, again, some people will never present in front of.
Sure.
But some people will have to speak at a funeral, let's say. Now, let's take it. That's what most Irish people, eulogies are important. And as we see people, less people going to the church where eulogies are banned in some places and they're only 3 minutes. People are at civil funerals or at semi-religious or humanist ceremonies and they get up and speak for 10 minutes and they're emotional. They've had a loss. They're terrified. They're tired. What would you say to them? They've got 2 days to get it together.
But normally they're brilliant because of all those things that, you know, it is about the emotion and it's about sharing something about another person normally. I think one of the most challenging things is when you have to talk about yourself or it's about your job or it's about what you do. But I think when people are talking about something that's important, they do slow down. Their voice becomes more resonant. Their breathing goes, they might be nervous at the start, but there are skills and techniques that you can do because at the end of the day, you've got a brain, you've got a body and you've got a voice.
Well, give us some of those techniques, easy ones.
Well, I mean, I think breathing is one of the most important things that you can really focus on. And of course, we know how to breathe because we're alive. But even practicing a simple, I mean, there are lots of breathing techniques, but I would just say, you know, practice breathing in for 2 and maybe breathing out for 8.
In for two, out for eight.
Because the out-breath should always be longer than the in-breath because the voice travels on the out-breath. And remember, the out-breath is really important just in life generally. A lot of people, I've met people who actually only do these little sneaky breaths. They kind of, and they could be talking and then they're saying this and then they're saying that and they take these little sneaky breaths and they never actually breathe out. But if you watch a martial artist or an athlete, the out-breath becomes really important because it relaxes you. So actually, if you practice, and I mean, I don't mean you have to go somewhere special. You could be driving in your car. You could be waiting at a bus stop. You could be on an escalator and you just breathe in and then breathe out for longer. And then the key is to wait before you breathe in again. So what you're doing is you're training yourself that you don't have to take an in-breath straight away because that creates anxiety and pressure.
I'm sorry, Paul, to interrupt you. The thing I've noticed, and I've spoken to people who are about to speak at ceremonies and unfortunately at funerals, very conscious of their accent.
Yeah.
Very conscious. I'm from the north side of Dublin and maybe it's been beaten out of me being in broadcasting as well. But people are saying, oh, I can't get up there because I speak in a certain way or I'm from a different part of the country. What would you say about accents? Your own accent.
Yeah, I think in Ireland we put so much stress and pressure on accents. I don't know whether it's because we're all part of different GAA clubs and we're all from different parts of the country, but I think clarity is the most important thing. You know, I probably get two or three calls every week about someone who says, oh, I don't like my accent. And then when I hear them, I go, but your accent's brilliant. Mm. It's about slowing down. I mean, the vocal variables are pace, pitch, volume and pause. If you can actually take control of those, people will love listening. I mean, you can fit Ireland into Lake Michigan and accents don't change from one end of Lake Michigan to the other end of Lake Michigan. But you walk 5 miles down the street and an accent will change. And we're very fussy and very picky about accents. And that's why I think everyone's so excited about James Norton and the other cast members who did such a really good job because they put the work in. And the trick is to get them early. You know, it's not like hair and makeup where you go in and you know, and it's done. It actually is a case of starting early. So with James and with the other English cast, I probably started working with them by Zoom, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks ahead of time, just a little bit and often, because no actor wants to do a bad accent. So
no.
So they really put in the effort.
Some actors might think their accent's better than it is.
Yeah, they do. but you know what? Those guys did a really, really good job.
That was great. It's a great show. And I know, just speaking to you outside, you're very proud to have worked on it.
Oh, it brilliant show.
Such an Irish cast as
and,
well.
And yeah, especially because it was such a big Irish cast. It's nice to see big shows.
Do you put your stuff up on YouTube? Can people look and learn?
I have an Instagram account. You can go to voicecoach.ie or the website voicecoach.ie. I mean, I run courses throughout the year. So I mean, I'm more than happy to chat to people. Anytime.
Lovely to meet you. And thanks.
Likewise.
Thanks for taking the time to come
in. It's a pleasure.
As well. It's been a lovely day.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul Moussalidis. How's the pronunciation?
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Don't lie to me. You can tell me when we're off air. Paul, thank you very much for coming in. That's about it from the show today. Thank you for listening. And if you want to get in touch with the programme, sure, send a letter. It's 4:30 and Sarah and Cormac are on Drive Time. Take care.